Breaking news, circuit court in Texas rules against Planned Parenthood overturning a district court ruling.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Folks, a huge pro-life victory out of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals today. This is in Texas. The opinion went live last night. And again, with everything going on in the country right now, you may not have seen this reported yet. But if you are concerned about the defunding of Planned Parenthood, this is a big case. Initially, Texas had decided to defund Planned Parenthood as part of its Medicaid program. Medicaid is a shared program between the federal government and states, and the states put in significant portions of funds, taxpayer money, into state resources into Medicaid. Now, the district court said Texas could not defund Planned Parenthood through the Medicaid process, that they didn't have the ability to do that. But in a bigger move today, and one, again, that is on the same day that marchers are marching on the March for Life in Washington, D.C., as they do on the near or around the anniversary of the Roe versus Wade decision, which is officially on Monday. On the day of the March for Life in Washington, D.C., we've got a blog about that at ACLJ.org. Texas has, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled that Texas can defund Planned Parenthood. So this is a huge loss to the nation's number one abortion provider and the number one abortion provider in the world. If you want to talk to us on air, the number is 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. On this, again, a day where life is celebrated and fought for on the day of the March for Life, and also at a time when I'm not sure I've seen this yet in any news outlet other than print media. Because of so much of the news going on, the shutdown that's going on and everything else that's happening, and Nancy Pelosi's trip being, the plane not being used, all that, the delegation, she's now responding, all of this information that's out there, it's not really breaking to the television media. It's in the print media as well, and all the details about the case. It happened again last night. But I just want to make clear that the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit said that the district court judge was wrong. The three-judge panel found that he used the incorrect standard of review, vacating the injunction that had blocked Texas from defunding Planned Parenthood. So at this point in time, the state of Texas can move forward with the defunding of Planned Parenthood. And Harry, this is significant. At a time when we know legislation is going to be tough to get through a divided Congress, and it was tough to get through even with Republicans in control of the House and the Senate, because there were enough senators to block any legislation, really, to defund Planned Parenthood. This is significant because states can start, if this decision holds, it'll be appealed to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court will probably have to weigh in. And if they don't, states will be able to make up their own decisions about if they're funding Planned Parenthood, because the way it happens is through these Medicaid programs.
I think you're absolutely right. This case underscores an important element of federalism. The states have a role in regulating health and, to some extent, reproductive rights. So, Jordan, the Fifth Circuit decision injected life into the state legislature's ability to curtail Planned Parenthood, the nation's leading abortion abider. Provider. In a case involving video evidence, Planned Parenthood was allegedly involved in the sale of fetal parts, and the three-judge panel in the Fifth Circuit has struck down the district court's injunction, and I think this is very welcome news.
It's also unique because out of the same circuit court in Louisiana, they said Louisiana couldn't because it didn't cite enough evidence about why they were, like, an explanation. This lays out, in the Fifth Circuit at least, what you need to do as a state to defund Planned Parenthood. What do you need to put in your report, your decision making? You know, we talk about that all the time, that when you put in legislation, we filed legislative comments on this Medicare and Medicaid and HHS, because they have to have reports done before they make legislative changes. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. She called Jewish people, quote, dogs, and is brutally unsympathetic about the Holocaust. This anti-Semitism turns the Hippocratic Oath, quote, do no harm, on its head. Unsurprisingly, Kalab is part of the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, further exposing BDS for what it is, thinly veiled anti-Semitism. At the ACLJ, we've been aggressively fighting the BDS movement and these sickening attacks on the Jewish people in Israel. Now we're sending a formal complaint to the medical board in Ohio. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Here's the ruling for people watch on Facebook and Periscope out of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. It is Planned Parenthood of Greater Texas versus Charles Smith, who is the executive commissioner of Health and Human Services in Texas. So, and again, this is because Medicaid, remember, is a federal and state co-sponsored program, and the states provide significant resources into Medicaid. Texas decided they wanted to defund Planned Parenthood. They cited evidence about why. They did not want Planned Parenthood. That doesn't outlaw Planned Parenthood in Texas. It says, we're not going to provide Planned Parenthood Medicaid reimbursements. Here are the reasons why. District court said no, that Texas could not make that decision. Similarly, when Louisiana did this, the Fifth Circuit, same circuit this case came out of, said no. But with the Fifth Circuit ruled today, overturning the district court, saying Texas can move forward with defunding. So far, the Supreme Court, by the way, has decided not to take these cases up on appeal. They might take this up again, because it would allow states to determine on these programs like Medicaid to defund or not to defund. And if they do, I think, again, how the Fifth Circuit has distinguished what Texas did from Louisiana. And they've kind of written the rule book, and that's, again, it helps everyone in the Fifth Circuit, all the states in the Fifth Circuit, at least. And really more than that, because, again, if states that want to defund Planned Parenthood know kind of what do you need to do. What was important about how Texas did it versus how Louisiana did it? Not to create a Texas-Louisiana rivalry there, but the idea that Texas cited specific evidence of why they were making the decision to defund Planned Parenthood, and that they took the appropriate kind of pre-steps to their decision-making process before cutting Planned Parenthood off. Obviously, Planned Parenthood will appeal this to the Supreme Court, but it's a huge victory to beat Planned Parenthood, Harry. At the Court of Appeals, this again overturns a district court judge that handed a very similar decision to Texas initially as the case out of Louisiana.
I think that's precisely correct. Planned Parenthood has attempted to separate itself from acceptable medical standards and ethical standards. And this particular court opinion suggests that Planned Parenthood, as an alleged health provider, is subject to medical and ethical standards determined by the state. I think it's clear beyond question, and I think the Court of Appeals notes this, that video evidence suggested that Planned Parenthood used liver, thymus, and neural tissues from fetuses aborted during the second trimester of pregnancy. The videos perhaps indicate that Planned Parenthood was engaged in the selling, or at least the transactions involving these organs, and definitely provided a basis for the state of Texas to cut off Medicaid funding for Planned Parenthood. So I think this is an important first step. Meanwhile, there are other steps taking place at the federal level through regulation, which would limit Planned Parenthood's access to funding. And all of these steps are very, very welcome on a day where the March for Life continues.
We've got information, too, at ACLJ.org on the March for Life, a new blog up as well. There, that's at ACLJ.org. But I encourage you, folks, this is a huge victory. It is, again, as the 46th March for Life occurs. Last night, the Fifth Circuit released an opinion saying that Texas can defund Planned Parenthood, setting really the standard for which other states could decide through their processes, whether it is through a department or agency decision or through a legislative process, what they need to do. Because interestingly, when Louisiana tried to do this, Louisiana was told no by the Fifth Circuit, by the circuit court, because they didn't cite enough decision-making why are you defunding Planned Parenthood. That you can't just go in, if you're doing these state federal programs like Medicaid, you can't just go in and defund. You got to put out reasoning why. Agree with that or not, and what if there's the still abortion distortion that Planned Parenthood gets treated on a pedestal differently? The Fifth Circuit has said that here, as long as you lay out why you are not allowing Planned Parenthood, and you're putting specific reasons out about why Planned Parenthood is not is going to stop receiving their Medicaid reimbursements. This is the defunding of Planned Parenthood at the state level, in a state the size of Texas. One of the largest, if not the biggest, two Planned Parenthood facilities is in Texas, I think in Houston, Texas. That is one that has been well-documented, a lot of this. And so we believe it's a really a major decision out of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals today. Love to take your phone calls on it, 1-800-684-3110. And the broader issue, because we are acknowledging in the March for Life today, 46th anniversary of Roe versus Wade is on Monday. It's an unfortunate anniversary, but it's one that those marchers, who never get enough coverage in the media, by the way, and it's one of the largest, if not the largest, reoccurring rally in the United States that happens every single year for 46 years. So there's the bigger issue, too, today we want to acknowledge, which is the life issue that we all fight for. And in our blog, it talks about how while there are marchers today, that every day we fight for life. I mean, I can go through with you what the ACLJ is doing right now. This is where our comments to HHS filed last week. We've got a case we're filing in a couple of weeks to the U.S. Supreme Court out of Alabama. This involves a specific abortion procedure that Alabama would like to ban. That's again being appealed to the Supreme Court as well. We've got a case out of Iowa involving pro-life speech. So we've got cases involving the procedures itself, the speech itself, the information on Planned Parenthood itself, all of that at the ACLJ. And we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Holly on Facebook writes, that's excellent news. Thank you, Fifth Circuit. Now for the rest of the states to follow suit. And again, this will allow those states, I think it's very red versus blue, and if you're in a purple state, it may not happen either, but it allows states to have a plan on how to move forward on the defunding of Planned Parenthood, and especially in the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. Could be taken up by the Supreme Court because it's a big issue, but they didn't rush to take similar cases up at the Supreme Court yet. And so again, we know Planned Parenthood will be appealing the decision, and this one is going to have significant consequences because it does go the other way. The cases that weren't taken up by the Supreme Court on this were cases that just kind of kept the status quo, that you can't defund Planned Parenthood. So it didn't get into those issues on really abortion and life. I will say that on this specific issue, because it does allow the defunding of Planned Parenthood. That might be an impetus, more of a reason for the Supreme Court to take it, which would clear it up for the whole country. But again, as of today, Texas can move forward with defunding Planned Parenthood. Let's go to the phones. Raj in Virginia, online one. Raj, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
What a blessing, Jay and Jordan and all you dear people. We have persevered over the years. And now, to get this message to every pulpit in the country, every pastor, every Christian leader, that these are the issues for life we have stood for all this while. We have not been equipping our school children and all that. Now, those who are in high school today are going to be voting in 2020. And our high schools haven't got this. And our pastors, Sunday school teachers, have not told the people that there are things such as this, even the cornerstone decision, and they're still not preaching the word, preaching the truth, and proclaiming victory in Jesus' name. So thank the Lord for you and for all that you do. And I would encourage all those who are listening, go to your pastors, go to your elders, repeat it to them again and again and again.
Well, I think, again, Raj, I appreciate your support. I do want to acknowledge today, too, I mean, I'll give credit where credit is due. Fox News is covering March for Life right now. In the midst of everything going on in Washington, D.C., they've been outside live reporting on the rally, showing the size of the rally. Again, it's held at one of the coldest times of the year in Washington always, and it has staying power. This isn't every once in a while this many people take to the street in Washington, D.C. from around the country. It is every year for 46 years that people have come together from diverse backgrounds, different political views, to march for life. And there's a big victory today out of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals that allows Texas to move forward with the defunding of Planned Parenthood. There's certainly a lot more work to do when it comes to fighting for life. And it has been a 46-year-long battle. That battle will continue. We will also continue to take your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. Again, 1-800-684-3110. The fight for life continues. We'll take a lot of your phone calls today, so give us a call. 1-800-684-3110. And also go to ACLJ.org. We have a great blog up on the March for Life and about everything that the ACLJ is doing on the life issue. And just now, just in the last few weeks, on different ways we're fighting for life through the comment process on HHS rules, on speech, and on the procedures itself. Go to ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. She called Jewish people, quote, dogs, and is brutally unsympathetic about the Holocaust. This anti-Semitism turns the Hippocratic Oath, quote, do no harm, on its head. Unsurprisingly, Kalab is part of the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, further exposing BDS for what it is, thinly veiled anti-Semitism. At the ACLJ, we've been aggressively fighting the BDS movement and these sickening attacks on the Jewish people in Israel. Now we're sending a formal complaint to the medical board in Ohio. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. A big victory out of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, allowing Texas to move forward with the defunding of Planned Parenthood. This is after an initial decision. So this is overturning a district court decision, which put an injunction on Texas, the Texas plan to defund Planned Parenthood. They laid out all the reasons why they were going to defund Planned Parenthood, and that is why the court has overturned the district court, uniquely because at the Fifth Circuit, out of Louisiana, which also encompasses Louisiana, they had said that Louisiana, in a different panel, three-judge panel, all three judges agreed, by the way, that Texas could defund Planned Parenthood in the circuit court. So it's a major decision. Remember, 99% of the cases, or 99.9, this is the final court for them. And so far, the Supreme Court has not taken similar cases. That does not mean Planned Parenthood is not going to immediately appeal. And there were questions coming in about how quickly will Planned Parenthood appeal. Immediately. I mean, they're going to, because as of right now, they could start losing significant reimbursements on the Medicaid program. But we've got good phone calls coming in. We'll take those, 1-800-684-3110. It's also the 46th March for Life today. So many people are marching in Washington, D.C. I know Fox News has covered it. I'm not sure other outlets if they've even shown imagery of it yet. It's, if not one of it, the largest reoccurring every single year for 46 years. You call it a protest or march, a gathering, very diverse gathering of people too, from different backgrounds, different faiths, different walks of life, who support and who march together in what will always be a pretty cold day, and usually is bitter cold in Washington, D.C. At this time of the year. It falls on around the same time as the Roe versus Wade decision. That will be on, that is officially on Monday, that anniversary. Let's go right to the phones. Nancy's calling from Ventura, California, on line one. Nancy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi there. So this is probably a dumb question. I just don't understand it. But if the states make up their own budgets and the government can't get involved in those, how can the government tell us we have to fund abortion?
Well, on Medicaid specifically, the states have agreed to get involved with the federal government. I mean, it is a federal and state sponsored program together. So that's why these are federal issues. It involves, again, the core issues of how do states need to go about the decision-making process? It's not that the federal government says you've got to go with everybody who provides services, who just says they provide services. They allow the states to kind of pick and choose. What is coming together here is it's that abortion distortion of can a state just, like they could with any other really agency, say, we're not funding you to provide health services anymore through Medicaid. And I think if it was anybody other than the abortion business, it doesn't even get to the next stage in court. Because it's Planned Parenthood, it has to be on appeal, and you've got to explain why. But the court is saying that if you do explain why, so if you go that extra step of work, you can defund Planned Parenthood, Harry.
I think that is correct. So to answer the caller's question, it's important to note that Medicaid is a combined federal and state program. That's number one. So states, to some extent, are entangled with federal regulations, which vary in terms of the existing administration. So the rules under Obama might indeed be different from the rules under the Trump administration. That's number one. But number two, and very importantly, and that is the genesis, if you will, of the March for Life, is the Roe v. Wade decision, where the U.S. Supreme Court constitutionalized, if you will, the right to abortion. Hence, federal judges under prevailing precedent tend to enforce abortion rights. And, of course, Roe v. Wade is still prevailing law. So this provides a basis or a platform for federal judges to insert themselves in decision-making by states when they indeed cut off state funding of the leading abortion provider in the United States, Planned Parenthood. But it's also important to remember in the context of this particular case before the Fifth Circuit, Planned Parenthood is a participant in the Texas Medicaid program, and the plaintiffs, that is the various Planned Parenthood divisions, each of these health centers sign Medicaid provider agreements and agree to comply with all Texas Medicaid policies and applicable state and federal regulations. These abortion providers received something like $3.4 million from Texas Medicaid funds, and that provides a basis for Texas to regulate. And the regulatory body is the Texas Office of Inspector General, and he or she may terminate a Medicaid provider's agreement when prima facie evidence establishes that a provider has committed a program violation or is affiliated with a person who commits a program violation. Here we can adduce clear evidence, at least according to the Fifth Circuit, that the Planned Parenthood branches in the state of Texas violated ethical and medical rules, and hence the Fifth Circuit reversed the district court judge's decision, which enjoined the enforcement of rules denying funding. And I think that's appropriate. Obviously, we need to move forward and go further. But I think that's about all we can expect right now, so long as Roe v. Wade is prevailing precedent.
And then, of course, the executive actions can be taken, as they are by Health and Human Services, judicial nominations being put forward by President Trump, not just at the Supreme Court, but at the circuit court level as well. And of course, Mexico City policy, which is by executive order that stops the funding of abortion internationally and those organizations that fund abortion. And the Trump administration did that immediately when President Trump took office. So there is there's executive action that can be taken. But Brian has a good question coming in online, too. Brian, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. How are you doing this morning? Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Brian.
Just a really quick question. I'll wait for a response on the other side. I was listening to another show on your station, the Frank Sontag show, and he was asking in myself, too, how is Planned Parenthood still funded?
Yeah.
I know I heard you guys about 2 years ago, you and your dad, and when C.C. Rich was on there, when we control both the House and the Senate, and do you think if we had an administration that knew how to play politics like a Jeb Bush or Ted Cruz, would Planned Parenthood be defunded right now? And I'll wait for a response.
It was Republican. It was a Republican vote that stopped it. It was the late Senator John McCain. So it was there. I'm not sure. I don't think it depends. It wasn't based on any administration. Again, it really is up to Congress. Now, again, much tougher when the Democrats control the House of Representatives. But I don't think, again, the legislation was ready to go. It was down to one vote. And that one vote was John McCain. And again, it's not to—he's no longer with us. But just to make it clear to people, it was one Republican senator who prevented that legislation from moving forward. And again, that included the defunding of Planned Parenthood there in that. But remember, there's also 60 vote thresholds in the U.S. Senate, so you got to have more than just 53. Senators who claim to be conservative or pro-life. We'll be right back with our second half hour.
A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
If you're just joining us for this second half hour, today is the 46th annual March for Life in Washington, D.C., and those marchers are out there in what is a cold day in Washington, what is usually a cold day in Washington. Lots of different people from different backgrounds who come together and are united by the singular idea that we should defend life and the pro-life message. And again, it's always around the anniversary of the Roe versus Wade decision from the Supreme Court, which is this year will fall on Monday. We got a blog up at aclj.org about how, you know, today people are marching, how we're always fighting, and how we were just done. This is just in the new year. A case in Iowa involving pro-life free speech. So the speech side of being able to talk about life. We have a case out of Alabama we are filing on that involves abortion procedure that is being appealed to the Supreme Court. So the procedural side of abortion. And then, of course, there are the HHS rules on the contraceptive mandates and the abortifacients and how those that reimbursement works as well. We've got our comments in on that. I'm holding those in my hand. That was filed, again, January 8th, 2019. So just in the new year, on all these different ways, we are fighting for life, the ACLJ. But a huge decision out of Texas and the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals came out last night. It's gotten some media coverage in the print media, not a lot of coverage or any coverage yet on in the cable news media, and maybe brief mentions. But this allows the Fifth Circuit has overturned a district court in Texas and allowed Texas to move forward in 3-0, move forward with defunding Planned Parenthood in the second largest state in our country. Now, it's a decision the state has made, but it can have an impact in the Fifth Circuit alone. Yes, sure, with Louisiana and Mississippi as well. Louisiana tried to do the same thing. It was rebuffed by the Fifth Circuit, saying that a different three-judge panel there said it wasn't enough information about why they wanted to defund Planned Parenthood. So here they've kind of laid out a framework as we're going through this case. Harry Hutchinson's joining me from our policy, legal policy team. But Harry, they've kind of laid out a framework for how do you move forward as a state in deciding no longer to fund Planned Parenthood through the Medicaid program.
I think that's precisely correct. So effectively, the Fifth Circuit has provided a framework which other states may be able to follow in the future in order to defund Planned Parenthood. Now, it's important to note that with respect to Medicaid, Texas Medicaid, for instance, only pays for abortions under narrow circumstances, specifically when a woman's life is in danger or for victims of rape and incest. And the amount of money that Planned Parenthood receives in Texas, for instance, amounts to something like $57 million. And so defunding of Medicaid in this particular case only amounts to $3.4 million. But that still amounts to progress, and hopefully other states will look at the decision in Texas and develop a framework which is consistent with that decision and also defund Planned Parenthood. And ultimately, these issues will likely be settled by the United States Supreme Court. But it's also important to recognize that under the Trump administration, a number of rule of law justices have been appointed, conservative justices, and it's very, very likely that these decisions will be upheld by the Supreme Court.
All right, folks, we're going to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. And we're broadening out, too, on the idea to protect life. How important is it for you to continue fighting always to protect life? We acknowledge it on these days like March for Life, but we're always fighting it out throughout the year. And it's an important day to step back and remember all the different battles and acknowledge all the different ways we fight for life. And you don't give up this fight either. So give us a call about that. I'd love you to weigh into how it's important to you to continue that fight for life and to protect the unborn. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110 to be on the air with us. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. She called Jewish people, quote, dogs, and is brutally unsympathetic about the Holocaust. This anti-Semitism turns the Hippocratic Oath, quote, do no harm, on its head. Unsurprisingly, Kalab is part of the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, further exposing BDS for what it is, thinly veiled anti-Semitism. At the ACLJ, we've been aggressively fighting the BDS movement and these sickening attacks on the Jewish people in Israel. Now we're sending a formal complaint to the medical board in Ohio. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, aclj.org.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Today is the annual March for Life, the 46th March for Life, which again also falls around the same time the Roe versus Wade decision came out. That's officially will be on Monday, that anniversary, which again kind of opened the floodgates to unregulated abortion in the United States. We say unregulated because it's so tough to make legislative gains, to even put in basic requirements of meeting health care facility standards and things like that. But there's a huge victory in this battle that came out of Texas last night in the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, overturning a district court decision in favor of Planned Parenthood that is allowing Texas to move forward with the defunding of Planned Parenthood. And we have a question coming in right away on Facebook, and Robin on Facebook, right? What does this decision mean for future cases across the U.S.? Does it establish a precedent? Well, right now, this holds in the Fifth Circuit, which is Texas, the second largest state in the country, Mississippi and Louisiana. But Harriet also lays out a framework because Louisiana tried to do this, Fifth Circuit, same court, different panel of judges, but said no because you didn't provide any reasoning behind why you were going to defund Planned Parenthood. Texas saw that, said, okay, let's put out a lot of reasons why we're going to do this and defund Planned Parenthood as part of our Medicaid reimbursement program. And the court said that's the difference. So in the Fifth Circuit, it lays out how to do it. So if Louisiana wants to go back and do it, they absolutely can use this as precedent now. But also, it will be up to the Supreme Court to decide whether or not they hear this case. And if not, it could open the doors for other states and different circuits to kind of follow the same path as Texas.
I think you're absolutely correct. So I think if you look at two different jurisdictions, Louisiana and Texas, you have two different results. Admittedly, we have two different panels of appellate court judges. But if you look at the Texas case in particular, it provides a roadmap for other states to regulate Planned Parenthood and to defund Planned Parenthood for non-compliance with medical and ethical standards. And I think there is clear evidence on both the record and in the media which suggests that Planned Parenthood routinely fails to comply with acceptable medical and ethical standards. I think most Americans would agree that selling and profiting from fetal baby parts is and should be medically and ethically unacceptable. Texas provides a roadmap, and I hope additional state legislators, attorneys generals, and others will look at this particular decision. But ultimately, I think it will be settled by the United States Supreme Court.
We are going to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. There's great information up, too. We have an ACLJ documentary, Abortion, Inc. And that's at acljfilms.com/abortioninc. We've been playing that, some of that for our Facebook and Periscope audience, but I encourage you for our larger radio audience as well. Today on the 46th annual March for Life, there's a lot of great info in that documentary we put together. That is, again, at acljfilms.com/abortioninc. And up at aclj.org as well on our blog. I think just to give you an idea of what we have done just in this year at the ACLJ. Just in 2019, we submitted public comments in support of new pro-life rule proposed by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, part of their rulemaking process. We're involved in an Iowa case involving pro-life free speech. The criminalization of that speech, someone was arrested, has a criminal record now because of pro-life speech and a statute that was used, a very vague statute in Iowa, used to criminalize that speech. So on the kind of rulemaking agency side, we're involved. On the speech side, we're involved. We're also about to file within a case out of Alabama to the Supreme Court that involves a procedure, a really disgusting procedure that the state of Alabama wanted to prohibit. And the courts so far, including the circuit court, the Fifth Circuit, has said, no, you can't. So that is on appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. We'll be filing on that as well. So this is all occurring just in the new year. So there's a lot of work to do in the new year as well. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, if you want to talk to us on the air. Julie is calling in from New York online, too. Julie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi.
Hi, Julie.
We have a governor who in the past has said extreme conservatives who are pro-life are not welcome in the state.
Yeah.
As of the last election, the entire legislature is 100% blue, and they are proposing a lot to go through and expand, be put in the state constitution to make abortion available, legal, up to the due date. And I'm wondering if, given the states have the right to do their own laws, how this will affect us. And also given that New York State has, I believe the last time I heard, which wasn't that long ago, we still pay out more in Medicaid, like double what the entire rest of the country pays, including California, close to. So
yeah.
Help.
Well, listen, this is why it's important. You know, this involves a state side of this and how states cannot just proactively support the abortion industry, as you're seeing in your state, Julie, in New York. And of course, this is, I mean, there's, depending on where you live, is going to kind of determine will states move forward with this bold of action to defund Planned Parenthood. But in what we have seen is there are specific federal bans on abortion procedures late-term pregnancy. There is a partial birth abortion ban that has been upheld by the Supreme Court. What we're seeing now, and this is the case out of Alabama, Julie's kind of referencing it too, this idea of abortion up until due date is renaming of procedures. I mean, it's the case out of Alabama that's on appeal to the Supreme Court. It's basically renaming the procedure, doing it slightly differently than what is banned by the federal law, and then fighting that out in courts.
Absolutely. So New York State has always been a leader in pushing abortion. And I think the caller is absolutely correct in suggesting that New York is now trying to advance the pro-abortion agenda. However, I think even in blue states like New York, listeners and callers can support federal regulations which limit federal funding of abortion. And so I think there's still an area wherein individuals who are in states like New York and California can be very, very supportive in restricting at least abortion funding, broadly speaking. I don't think the United States Supreme Court is likely to intervene vis-a-vis state legislation, such as in New York, that advances the abortion agenda.
All right. We've got a big pro-life victory that is coming out. Again, this is an agency ruling too, HHS, involving a process we've gone through with the Department of Health and Human Services as well. And HHS has found that the FACT Act, the Free Access to Clinics Act, is that the act involved here? Oh, the posting information violates federal law, not just state laws on speech, but federal law as well. We'll get this to you. This is just occurring. We'll get it to you after the break. Again, this is about what these pro-life pregnancy centers around the country. And we've visited a lot of these. We've done a lot of work for these pregnancy centers as well, that they specifically do not have to post these notices about abortion, about where to get an abortion, or what services they don't provide. We've won it at the state level, and now HHS has said it also violates the federal First Amendment and speech laws as well. We'll explain it more when we come back from the break. Again, another victory for life. It's all these different issues. So it involves speech, because the abortion industry wants to limit the speech, pro-life speech. It involves the procedures themselves, like Julie's call out in New York, and the new battles. So if you ban partial birth abortion, they come up with a new, slightly different take on it, and then they try that procedure. And so that's coming out of Alabama, heading to the Supreme Court. So there's, again, the procedural aspect of it. There's the agency aspect of it, like with HHS as well. We want to take your phone calls on the 46th Annual March for Life. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110. A major victory for life out of Texas. More victories for life as well out of Health and Human Services. And we'll talk about that when we come back on Jay Sekulow Live. To get more information as well, go to aclj.org. We'll get a blog up on this later today. That's at aclj.org, but it'll be a very important decision coming out of HHS, that not just state law, but federal law is violated when these clinics are forced, as some states do, like California tried, to force these pro-life pregnancy centers to post specific information. The states can't do that. Again, it's fighting that abortion distortion. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. In our final segment, we want to take your phone calls and your comments. Again, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. She called Jewish people, quote, dogs, and is brutally unsympathetic about the Holocaust. This anti-Semitism turns the Hippocratic Oath, quote, do no harm, on its head. Unsurprisingly, Kalab is part of the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, further exposing BDS for what it is, thinly veiled anti-Semitism. At the ACLJ, we've been aggressively fighting the BDS movement and these sickening attacks on the Jewish people in Israel. Now we're sending a formal complaint to the medical board in Ohio. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can can add your name online, aclj.org.
Folks, we just received this. It was via email, and it's also been mailed. So we received it immediately from the Department of Health and Human Services just moments ago. And this is out of the Health and Human Services. We had cases involving the FACT Act, which was a law out of California that required pro-life pregnancy centers to post specific messages because of their pro-life message. On the pregnancy center's walls, effectively would have shut down a lot of these pregnancy centers. They would have decided, we're not going to advertise for abortion, basically, and tell you where to go get an abortion. And those laws in the federal courts were held to be unconstitutional. So there's injunctions against those laws from going into effect. We also filed, though, filing against the state. You know, so you're alleging the federal violation of speech versus against a state. In that case, it was the state of California putting forward this what they called the FACT Act. So there's an injunction against it. But we also filed with the Department of Health and Human Services. And HHS has now officially found that the law in California did, in fact, violate two federal statutes, along with just the broader position of, you know, the constitutional protections involved in the First Amendment right to free speech, specifically the Weldon Amendment and the Coates Snow Amendment. They're not taking other actions yet because, as of right now, this law in California has been permanently enjoined. So there's a permanent injunction against it from ever going to effect. But we're also going to take action at Health and Human Services in a Hawaii case that we have that's similar as well. And two other HHS complaints that we have. But here it is. This is the Department of Health and Human Services. So here's the response to the ACLJ. And here's a response to the Attorney General of California as well, making it clear to the Attorney General of California that the law that you have tried to implement, as the courts have said, is not only unconstitutional as to the First Amendment, but specifically violates two federal statutes on the books as well. This just came to the ACLJ. It was sent just about 25 minutes ago. It's dated, as you said, January 18th, 2019. Harry, again, it's just another example of all the work that we do at the ACLJ and the second step. So we had the victory in court, but we wanted it on the record too. We wanted the federal government to weigh in as well. We've had that now through HHS.
You're absolutely correct. So the ACLJ has been vigilant in vindicating the free speech rights of pro-life clinics. And so it's important to look back and to note that we won a case at the Supreme Court protecting pro-life pregnancy centers from being forced to advertise state-funded abortions. Now, I think it's clear on its face that the law was indeed unconstitutional, but it's also important to note that both the district courts in California and the Ninth Circuit tend to lean toward the left. And so it took a trip to the United States Supreme Court to overturn this legislation in the state of California, which would require pro-life clinics to advertise in favor, if you will, of abortions. So this was outrageous. It was absurd. And so now we've taken it a further step, if you will, by taking it to the federal government, and the federal government essentially has agreed with us, suggesting that these types of pro-abortion rules violate the Constitution. So it's important to come back to a bedrock principle, which is pro-life clinics have indeed free speech rights, contrary to the views of states like California, New York, and Hawaii.
Yeah, and so, again, what did this try to do? So this is what the FACT Act would have required. Pro-life pregnancy centers who fund themselves on their own, organizations, and it says the notice state, California has public programs, so they'd have to do this and give this out to everybody or put it on their wall. And specific text dictated by the state. That's what California tried to do. quote, California has public programs that provide immediate, free, or low-cost access to comprehensive family planning services, prenatal care, and abortion for eligible women. To determine whether you qualify, contact the county social services office. If it says insert the telephone number. Two, so it's not just done there. The information will disclose in either of the following ways. One, a public notice. Now, get this. California even tried to say that may be easily read by those seeking services from the pro-life pregnancy center, and they say from the facility. The notice shall be at least 8.5 by 11, written in no less than, they even put the font size, 22-point font, or you have to hand deliver it to all clients in 14-point font, that this message, that you can go get abortions for free from the state. The pro-life pregnancy center would have to do that. The court said no. So, and you won this in the courts, but you know it's against the states, because the states tried to do it. So you want the federal government on the record as well, saying that this is not right. And we've received today from the Department of Health and Human Services, and they've also written to the state of California saying your law violates federal statutes as well. It violates federal law. And so, and that is the opinion of the U.S. government. So it's not just the courts who have invalidated, put an injunction, but it's also the federal government, the executive branch, that has said this violates the law as well. So again, it's a big victory. We're going to get this up at ACLJ.org. Why are we talking about this today? Today is the March for Life. And if you've never attended or been to the March for Life, I hope you catch some of the coverage that's been in the news media about it and see it visually. It's diverse. It's always on tough, cold days in Washington, D.C. And regardless of kind of what else is going on in the country, for 46 years, people have come together from different backgrounds to March for Life. And so I think it's very important to acknowledge it. Why is it always this time of year? It's always around the anniversary. Sometimes it's on the exact day, depending on the year, of Roe versus Wade. That is officially Monday. But again, the March for Life occurring today as well. We have a great blog up at ACLJ.org. It doesn't include the latest victory. So we either update that blog or write an entirely new blog up at ACLJ.org. On a day that people are taking time out of their busy schedules to stand for the pro-life message. Let's also explain, Harry, as well, what happened out of Texas. The idea of defunding Planned Parenthood through Medicaid. This is a big victory. 3-0, Planned Parenthood loses. They don't usually lose in federal court. It usually is it's a big surprise when they do because of the abortion distortion factor. They won this case in the district court. I'm sure they weren't expecting this. Out of the circuit court last night it came out. But it said that Texas, which is the second largest state in the country, can move forward defunding Planned Parenthood.
Absolutely. So Planned Parenthood of Texas, basically a number of affiliated groups providing tons and tons of abortions in Texas, they were in non-compliance with acceptable medical and ethical standards. That provides a legal and, I would argue, constitutional basis for states to defund Planned Parenthood going forward. This is an important pro-life victory, and we look forward to more in the future.
We encourage you folks, go to ACLJ.org on this 46th annual March for Life. There's great pro-life resources for you there about the work the ACLJ has just done in the new year. And we'll have this information up. It's a great new victory. I love the letter that the Attorney General of California just received say that your statute trying to regulate pro-life speech violates federal laws, and you can't implement it. And again, that was also because the ACLJ asked, because the ACLJ went to HHS to get this answer. We'll talk to you next time on Jay Sekulow Live.
A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, ACLJ.com.